Donald Weaver from Santa Monica. You're listening to WGXC
Acra.
The world is changing, and we must change with it. The Thingularity Radio Show will begin emphasizing digital rights and protection in the coming age. Our new segment will be called Defense Against the Dark Arts. We will provide tips and strategies for cloaking your online and actual footprint. Find us on WGXE first Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. or find us on your schedule at wgxe.org. WGXE underwriting is provided in part by Upstate Films, a nonprofit theater presenting Sonic Wave, an ongoing music and sound-rich series screening in an Atmos theater at the Orpheum in Saugerties every Monday night. This month, playing Liza, a truly terrific, absolutely true story. Still Bill, with live talkback on the soul legend Bill Withers. Sing Street, a film about Jimi Hendrix. Born Innocent, the Red Cross story. And Janice Ian, Breaking the Silence. Information at upstatefilms.org.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Anonymous of East Hampton, New York. WGXC supporters care deeply about creative community radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Big wet snow falling all night, but it sounded like icicles being thrown at the house. And, it sounded menacing. Like it was chipping away. In my dream, I was in some old place and I was with my family and others. And Tammy and my mom are the same person. And maybe she started off as one and then ended up as the other. But we were experiencing hauntings in this old house. And a lot had happened there. And I specifically was being haunted by this one woman. I was in a bed and she pulled my left leg. She pulled me across the bed with an invisible touch. And then someone gave me a book to look at, a big coffee table book that had a picture of her in it. And it was an old, old picture. And, and I felt this profound, very deep sadness for this woman. And it was very intense, the sadness. And, yeah. Then there was a view of this bridge. It was as though I was way up in the air, like a drone looking down. There was this bridge that wasn't there anymore. You could only see the pilings sticking out of the water over a river. You know, it looked a lot like that bridge got blown up at Harper's Ferry. It was like that. But I was seeing it from above, from the air. And something had happened there. It was related to the woman. I don't know, I woke up and I felt scared. And like it was something, I don't know. It's weird because Leah had these, she had this really weird dream recently where she felt like she was contacted by these restless spirits that she encountered accidentally when she was walking around Philmont, and then it turns out there used to be a poorhouse there. And I was like, oh, is this not connected to Leah's dream? I don't think so. It is weird, though, because after Leah came to my house, I later on went into the basement, maybe a few days later. I felt like there was a presence down there, and I felt like that since. And in the corner, I didn't ever feel that. Well, I've actually felt that there a couple times, but it seemed heightened, perhaps because of me being in the house. Maybe she brought something, but she didn't go in the basement, so I don't know. But now when I go in the basement, I always feel like I'm being watched, and of course, it's hard to mess with it. Which is odd, I don't know. So, I woke up, I was scared, and my left leg is hurting. I'm having some nerve problems. And that's the leg that she was pulling on me. And I fell back asleep, and I immediately started dreaming of a candle pen. Black. For some reason, this woke me up. This freaked me out. And I fell asleep again. And it's very good, a dream of going back to my middle school to join a few friends who were DJing with my records. And I was going to too. And so we started doing it. And trying to take down other people. And there were like some people in the cafeteria. There was a guy who started off as one person and then left as another person. He walked into the corner of the person and he was just creepy thing. In a dream, we have a passing from the head. Then, in the cafeteria, they pull records and say, then this like, study hall type teacher kid in was like, no, we're going to have to move you to study hall. And I was like, I'm going to be a teacher right now. And then this IA teacher came in. And he gave me a package. He was like, this is for you. I was like, wait, did I leave this year in middle school? He was like, yes. And I opened up the package, and he kind of looked back at me, and I was like, oh, thank you so much. He gave me a hug. He was like, thank you so much. But in my mind, I was like, I don't remember his name. He was my teacher. And I realize now it was Mr. Nuccio. But in the dream, he had a Puerto Rican name, and I didn't remember what it was, and I felt really bad. I was like, oh my God, he's been saving me stuff this whole time, and he remembers me, and I don't even remember his name. But the funny thing was, he was exactly how he was in middle school, and not like he probably was in the name. So he opened the package. And there was a book, and it was sort of like a high-speed book. I can't remember what it was about, but it was, oh my God, I think it kind of, maybe he had written it, but that was sort of like, so maybe he had written it, or maybe he had a stack of these books, but I don't know. And there were maybe a couple other things, but I don't know. My notebook in the class was small, super A's, and a cover. It was this colorful photo of people who were skating. It wasn't a photo. It was a graphic. It was like a graphic of roller skating people. And I was like, oh my God, I love this. And I guess, like, a notebook and how it was. You know, a nostalgic feeling of this like 80s aesthetic, and also just this nostalgic feeling of me being a child and before I remembered about anything, before I knew about anything how fucked up the world was. And how free things felt, open, and I will never be like that again.
like, so I thought we all dreamt like that. I thought we all could, like, you know, a lot of mine were based on books or movies I had watched, so I thought we all could pick dreams like that. And it wasn't until I was talking to someone at Little Sea, and they go, that's like lucid dreaming. And I was like, what do you mean? I was going to sleep and just like picking up where I left off, and then like, you know, going through a story I like wrote. I was like, don't we all? And everyone was like, no. And it was like a really strange thing, because I did dream like that until we got a TV into our room at like 13. And then I would just like have that on and go to sleep. I think so. I was trying to figure it out with Griffin, because I was like, I really thought our brains were, like, I thought dreams were television sets. Like, because if I would get bored with the Lion King one, I would be, did you ever see the Bar Wars? It's like tiny people who live in houses, and they go out and they take like a sponge from a house and they like turn it into like a couch and a cupboard. I would be a borrower in the town. Yeah, like, you know, they had like a spindle as like a table. Like,
tell me
about my
visitation from a non-religious family. But I was told three things: that 38 to 42 would be my greatest growth years, and that 42 to 62 would be my greatest contribution to humanity, and that I could come home then if I wanted, and that the purpose of my walk would be to teach people to become insubstantial without transitioning. And so as I was getting close to my 38th birthday, I had a dream, and I was on this train, and there was all sorts of paranormal stuff taking place, and Jesus and Mother Mary appeared, and not two that I would normally think of for messaging, but they said, you know, it's time to begin your work. You can get off the train, train stopped, you can get off the train and live your life the way you want to live it, or you can continue on and do the work that you were asked to do as a child. And so I said, put the train back on, and fully expecting to pass when I was 62. My sons and I had a long talk about that, and, you know, coming up on 66, and I'm still here, so I guess I'm still working. But for me, it was a commitment of really letting my gifts work. You know, the book I wrote actually in 1996, but I was so busy that I just didn't feel like I could take on more people.
Yeah.
And then in 14, finally decided it was okay to go ahead and publish it.
Let's talk about emotions for a little bit, Patty, if we can.
Yeah.
You believe emotions are stored in our body, and that's not a good thing, is it?
No. I think that emotions storing in the body, I think we can take every single case of disease, no matter what it is, and find that emotional core. You know, before we had microscopes, I mean, people had a bum knee, you know, they had a you know, crick in their neck, whatever. We were very generalized in how we spoke about it. And as time went on and we began the labels, I think the labels then in and of themselves started creating fear, and the fear then got stored in the bodies, and, you know, now we create what we fear because we label it. But I think that everything has been a core emotion, and it's really getting in there and looking at what it is. I mean, I think if we're in a space of unconditionality, which, you know, so few of us can maintain that in a 24-hour day. But I think that, you know, that adds into our immune system. If we look at subtle energy fields inside of our body, and to me, that's the energy field that we came to this planet with. In science, we call it our immune system. And so every word and the emotion that we give that word is what's storing in your body. And so I say to people, if we're looking at a sunrise and we have no ability to hear or think or speak, and we just have our eyes to look at that sunrise,
So don't be afraid of the future unknown. For I am at your side. You are never alone. I'll be with you always. Ever together. Eternally bonded. Never apart.
church with the burial grounds in the back. And he said, I don't know, we just stopped there, and I got out, and he said I was taken to this area. He said it was almost like being led someplace. And he found this grave, and it was a Van Buren who was killed 100 years to the day this Van Buren was killed at the Battle of Fair Oaks, which was a Civil War battle.
Must have been an ancestor. Had to have been.
Yeah, I would think so.
That's like too many coincidences.
But I remember him telling me that.
I remember that story, but I couldn't remember who the person was. So it wasn't anybody that they were looking for and that they knew.
First girl twins to be born in Hamilton and in town and whatever. So anyways, it always felt like the twins. And when we were in our room, it felt like, Rachel and I talked about this, it felt like older people standing around our beds almost being like, the twins, like that kind of energy too. But for me, there's always like this man and this woman who I always felt really close by the bed. But they were like really old, glasses, smaller. Like I can still see him. Like he didn't really have much hair. He was wearing a jacket. He was like a lot more slender and smaller. And so was she. And they were really old. And it wasn't scary. I kind of just felt annoyed. Like, I felt like there was always old people that were, I was like, so I was always around my older relatives every day. Like, my great-great-grandmother was alive when I was born, and she was around one corner. And then my great-grandma was around the other, and then my grandparents. So then I was just like, as a kid, I felt a little annoyed. I was like, I want to go to sleep. And I just feel them on, like, the open part of my bed, because my bed was against a wall. But my sister said that too, but we never talked about it until much later. She would feel people. But she would have, like she saw Dave come into our room when we were 13. And so she was so freaked out because she literally saw him come in and he was wearing a robe, I guess. Like she described, because I woke up to a piercing scream. Like she was screaming. Because he came in and she felt like she saw him like come in through the door and like described how he looked perfectly, like robe. Again, we never met him, but my mom was like, she didn't want to scare us, so she was just like, don't worry about it. And then it was years later, she goes, you described Dave perfectly, and even when you were two and you said morning Dave, she's like, you've always creeped me out about the Dave of it all. It's not like he was like a bad guy. It's just, it feels like, maybe he just takes ownership of that room.
Yeah.
But weird energy, for sure, from him. He was like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, that's similar to, there's a guy in our guest room.
Yeah. feels like she's like a black woman with skirts or something. Like, definitely like more flowy. I feel her, but she's cool. She seems cool. But it's like her house, you know, she's like, feels very like, you know, she knows cupboards. She knows like, but cool energy, not like, get the fuck out. He felt a little weird. You know, but not bad. Just like, eh. I also just have a weird thing where it's like, if I feel someone, I'm like, I just want to be alone. Like,
yeah.
You know? Just, yeah, like, not even icy, just more like, oh, you want to be in here alone, but we're in here. It's like that awkward discomfort a bit. Maybe that's a better way. But, I don't know if you find this interesting. My grandfather's mother passed when he was 16, and so I never really got to see a photo of her because a lot of the photos, she had 6 kids. And she, but, like, she was a really happy woman, but, like, in all of the photos, she's kind of moving, or, like, she's holding a kid, or she's, like, doing something, so it's kind of, like, you can't really see her face, you know, it's, like, she's doing something, and so it's, like, always in motion, and so when I would have a dream where I didn't like where it was going, or I felt creeped out a little bit, I would enter this, like, completely other space, like, dream that I would go to a lot, that was not tied to a movie, because a lot of the ones for the lucid dreaming were movie ones, or like a book, like The Borrowers or something. Like, I would pick something that I enjoyed and wanted to change. But this one was, I was in a kitchen, and there was this woman, and she was like, I can like explain it really clearly. It's like the kitchen, and then a door is here. And the door, I can't see outside. It's really bright light. Like, it's a really sunny day, but it's so bright. Like, I can't see outside. But I can hear kids running, and I hear chickens, and it's like... And then this woman's there, and she's, like, talking to me as if, like, she knows I'm there. She's like, don't worry. They don't know you're here. You're fine. Like, you're good. And she's, like, wearing an apron, and she was always just, like, making stuff. And she would talk to me for a little bit. And then, like, I would feel calm, and then I'd go. And so when my grandmother passed, we were cleaning out photos of my grandfather's wife, my grandma was really close to, and we found this photo, and it's of his mother in her coffin, because, like, yeah, I don't know if that's, you know, that was, like, the thing, but she's, like, dressed up in her coffin, and I was like, that is the woman of the dream, like, it felt so her, like, it was just, like, I go, oh my god, like, that is who, and I always felt really safe with her in the kitchen, like, and, like, a kid would run in, but, like, they didn't see me, it wasn't like I was, do you know what I mean? Like, it's like, she knew I was there, and she's like, you're okay, don't worry, but then, like, the kids would be running in and out, like, it's like I wasn't there to them.
Yeah.
I don't really know what that is, but I went to that one a lot. As a kid. Yeah, I cannot do... Sometimes, if I, like... I'm trying to get more off tech, because if I'm not on my phone, and I'm not, like, listening to other things or have any technology on, I can have really vivid dreams, not lucid dreams now. Like, I can feel textures, like floor, plants, like, it feels really real. Like, I can lean down in a dream and be like, oh wow, like, feel like how thick flooring is or something. But that's, like, again, if I'm not, like, I'm listening to a podcast. We're scrolling to fall asleep.
Sweetheart. Through the crystal, through the crystal, through the crystal, through the crystal, through the crystal.